All right. Well, with the Mexico team sharing 2 weeks ago and the blizzard last week, it's been a while since we've been in the Sermon on the Mount, but we're going back today. So you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be finishing this chapter. This is actually the seventh kind of week or the seventh sermon on the Sermon on the Mount series, and my plan is to continue through the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which goes through the end of chapter 7 in Matthew. It's going to be about three more messages that will take us through the end of April. I had planned originally to finish up by Easter, but the way things have panned out, it's not quite going to make it there. So if you are meeting in a small group and discussing, you'll have to decide if you want to keep going through the end of April to finish this or do what you need to do. So as we've been working through this study, I hope it's been eye-opening and challenging for each of us. Jesus has been making it very clear that following him isn't just about believing him and going to church on Sundays, which we can get the impression that's what it is, but Jesus makes it very clear that's actually not all that it is. It actually impacts and influences every part of our lives, okay? Every part of our lives. We shouldn't blend in and just be like everybody else and then go to church on Sunday. We are different. We should be, he's called us to be salt and light in this sermon. We have that calling and purpose that's different than unbelievers. We have different motivations, that things that get us stirred up. We have different priorities, what's most important. And we have different goals to aim for. Following Jesus, as you hear what he's preaching in this sermon, he's calling us to become more and more like him, and we see that clearly throughout Scripture, and it includes not just our beliefs and character, which for me, I probably spent the first 20 years as a Christian thinking that it was mostly about what I believed and my character, but then I started to realize it's actually a lot more than that. It includes everything in my life, how I spend my time, money, and effort. It influences our whole lifestyle. And that's what we're going to be thinking through more. We touched on that in the last sermon. And in that sermon, Jesus made it very clear that you cannot live for, or lay up is the words he used, the treasures of earth and the treasures of heaven at the same time, because he said your heart doesn't work that way. What happens is what you treasure, what you pursue and kind of chase after in this life, that's your heart is going to follow right along with that, okay? And I shared some of my own struggles in that area the last 5 years. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so he makes it clear, you have to choose what you're going to pursue in this life and who you're going to serve. And at the end of that passage, he called the people listening to him, you can either serve God or the things of this earth. Money, mammon is the word that was used. Who are you going to serve? If you choose God, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy the earthly blessings that he's given, which we in this culture have a lot of these blessings. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy them, but it does mean that you're going to have to make some clear decisions about what you're going to put first and what you're going to aim for and what your priorities are going to be and how you're going to spend your time, money, and effort. And so we saw that in the previous teaching three weeks ago. Following Jesus requires a lifestyle that's different than the rest of the world is what he pointed out. And we're going to see more of that today, and he's going to help us to see that even more. So questions for us to ask ourselves as we begin is, what's your lifestyle like? How do you spend your time, your money, your effort? What does your schedule look like? What are you paying most attention to from day to day? Begin to think about what your life consists of. I'm going to summarize what I see kind of here in our area in western Wisconsin. I would say the majority of people live a busy middle-class lifestyle. So we typically have decent-paying jobs, homes to live in. There's home ownership, a lot of us. A lot of us are married and have kids, or we have grandkids. We have at least one vehicle in some cases. Like during the blizzard, I have 7 vehicles to deal with. it's tough. They're not all mine. I don't have seven vehicles. Anyways, side topic. A lot of us have at least one vehicle. We spend our time and our money on a lot of different things. Going to work, school, kids' activities, church, hobbies, projects, clubs, and so on. And so if I would summarize and use kind of key descriptive words, I would describe our lifestyles as busy is one that would come to mind first. Busy, our schedules are full, we're on the go most of the time, a lot of us are tired, we're stressed out, we spend our money on a whole bunch of different things. And that's basically at least my summary of the culture that we live in, generally speaking. But so we looked at what Jesus said after my last sermon 3 weeks ago. I wonder, okay, serve God rather than money or mammon. Pursue the treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth. I wonder what Jesus would say about our lifestyles. Are Christians supposed to be like that, like others in our Western Wisconsin lifestyles? Are we supposed to live this way, or should we be different than the cultural norm? Okay. Do we need to change some things in order to live like Christ calls us to live? I want us to see what Jesus says in our passage today. You're going to see that the people that he was speaking to were in a much different economic situation than we're in, and because of that, it affected their lifestyles. But as I studied and spent time in this text, I can see a clear parallel between their lifestyles and ours, that as we read through this and study, Jesus is telling them that needs to change. And so I believe he would say the same thing to us today as well. So I want to work that out. To start with, before we dig into what Jesus said, I think we need to understand a little bit about their economic situation so that we can understand what he's saying. These were people, he's speaking in Galilee, which is the northern region of Israel. We need to see how their economic situation affected their lifestyle. Their situation was a lot different than ours. There was widespread poverty in that society. I didn't realize how widespread it was until I studied it mostly 2 weeks ago. People didn't live like we do. Okay, so our lifestyles, people didn't live like this. According to research done by the Department of New Testament Studies at the University of Pretoria, South Africa, the economic breakdown of people in Galilee at that time was as follows, and I have it here. 3% were extremely wealthy, like rolling, like Scrooge McDuck wealthy, okay? Rolling in wealth. Only 7% had so that's your top tier when it comes to wealth. The next tier is quite a bit lower. Only 7% had moderate surplus resources, which, from what I understand, that would be similar to us, about 7%. And then 62% were at a subsistence level. So you probably remember in school, subsistence farming. You know, you're farming so you have just enough to feed you and your family. Subsistence level. You're just trying to get by. Barely enough to make ends meet. 62% were at that level. And we would consider them, the people in our culture today who are living at subsistence level, we consider to be poor. 62%, 28% were below that. So they were living in poverty. That would be widows, orphans, beggars, prisoners. So the research found that 90% of people were what we would consider to be poor. They barely had enough to survive. So that research indicated most were small farmers with inadequate or barren land, or they were serfs that were serving on large estates. They had heavy taxation and debts, and many of them ended up they had a system where they could submit themselves to be indentured servants in order to pay off their debts. And that's what their lives were like. After paying for taxes and rents and loan payments and interest, there simply was nothing left for 90% of the people in that culture. That's who Jesus was speaking to. And that meant that their lifestyles were different than most of ours because they were primarily focused on trying to survive. And you're going to see in the wording that he used, they were often worried about whether or not they were going to make it. They were working day in and day out. It's that hand to mouth, is that the right? Hand to mouth. Working day in and day out just to provide food, drink, and clothing for themselves and their families. And Jesus had just told them what we looked at in the previous section, don't focus your life on laying up for yourselves treasures on earth. Means different, different for us than it meant to them, okay? But don't focus on laying up treasures on earth. Focus your lives on laying up treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Also, you cannot serve God and money, or mammon, which is kind of material possessions. Things like food, drink, clothing is what they, the reality. So, what would it mean for people living in poverty to try to live out Jesus, that calling that Jesus just gave them that we looked at? What would that life look like? How could they focus on the kingdom of heaven when they were so busy just trying to survive? So here's what Jesus said next. Okay, hopefully you get an idea of where they're coming from when they heard this. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. He says this, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. One of the things that stuck out to me, once I understood the poverty that these people were in that he was speaking to, I noticed Jesus is very confident here in speaking these things and saying them and calling these people who are in poverty not to worry, but to trust in the provision of their heavenly Father. And he calls them to that so that they could live a different kind of lifestyle than everyone else who was also in poverty and worried about what they were going to eat, drink, and wear. Okay, he's confident. He's not ashamed to say, don't live like them anymore. Don't be so consumed by that. Rather than worrying so much and living lives that are consumed with providing food, drink, and clothing for themselves and their families, they were to trust in God's provision so that they could focus on something different, which was seeking his kingdom and righteousness and making that their first priority in their lifestyle. So he's not telling them, you probably understand, don't go too far here. He's not telling them to quit their jobs. Okay? You know, he's not telling them to quit working. A lot of them were farming, you know, serfs at these big estates. He's not telling them to quit their jobs and quit work, but he is telling them to stop being anxious, which as you dig into that word, it means being consumed by and distracted by, in this case, work and trying to make ends meet. That dominated their lives, their thinking, their lifestyles. if you think about it from somebody who's in, you know, the perspective of somebody who's living in poverty, what Jesus just said there, it seems like a pretty risky lifestyle change. He's calling them to something that's actually risky as far as surviving. There's a lot at stake. We're talking about putting food on the table and a cloak on your back. Shouldn't that be your highest concern? But Jesus is saying, don't worry so much about that. Don't let that dominate your life. Focus on spreading God's righteousness and doing the work of the kingdom. So that's the first thing I want you to see in this. You know, we read through the Sermon on the Mount probably quite often, and you get to this passage, and once you see it from their perspective, it's like, okay, he's calling them to something very big here, a very difficult change of mind and change of lifestyle. Then he gives a bunch of reasons for why they should live that way, and I want you to see the reasons he gives. If you see in verse 25, the first reason is a question. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? In other words, your life is way more important than just living to survive. So don't live that way. Okay? You too, brothers and sisters, your life is far more important than just living to survive or just trying to keep up with your busy schedule. Why did God create you? Why did God bring you into his family? Not just for making it through to the next day. There's a higher calling for us. Okay? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Don't live that way. The second reason he gives is given as two examples that you can see here. Two examples of living creatures that are way less important, he points out, way less important to God than those people were. And yet he shows that God didn't leave these other living things high and dry. He provides food for birds, and he provides clothing for lilies, and he will certainly provide for the needs of his people. And again, you see confidence in what Jesus is saying. Jesus doesn't have a doubt in his mind. The third reason is a logical question you see in verse 27 about what all their worrying about food would accomplish for them. He says, will it add even 1 hour to your life? And the obvious answer is no. And again, don't live that way. The fourth reason is in verse 32, and he's basically saying, if you're consumed with living for what you eat, drink, and wear, you're no different than the pagans and unbelievers, okay? The Gentiles who don't believe in a heavenly Father and a God who provides for their needs, they live that way. And if you live that way, you're no different than them. But you do have a heavenly Father, okay? And the fifth reason, your heavenly Father is fully aware of exactly what you need. He knows what you need. And then finally in verse 33, he tells them to go ahead and change their lifestyle because God will make sure they have everything that they need. And it's interesting because you can see how God provided as you start to look into the book of Acts and you see what the life of those early believers was like. God did provide. He provided. They helped one another out. They helped with food and with different resources, those who had an abundance, in some cases would sell some of their possessions or land and give in order to help one another out. And that's, you can see some of the ways that God provided for those needs. So the way that they were living their lives, these people that Jesus is speaking to in that crowd, consumed with trying to put food on the table, Jesus says that was not good, and it would need to change if they were going to fulfill God's calling and purpose for their lives. Okay? You can't live that way and fulfill God's calling and purpose in your life, because if you live that way, you'll be consumed by living that way, and you won't have any time or space left for kingdom purposes, which is what he calls them to. Some of you need to hear that this morning, because I think there is a mentality where we think it's good and it's virtuous to put your nose to the grindstone and work yourself to the bone so that you can provide for your family, okay? I've seen that as a value in our society, like, no, I'm just going to work 80 hours a week so I can put food on the table and pay bills. I think what Jesus is saying is, don't live that way. You can't live a life consumed and distracted by work, because then you won't give any time and effort to seeking God's kingdom and righteousness. And so what Jesus says to them is he calls them to trust that God is going to provide so that you can live for him and for his righteousness and his kingdom, and actually make that your priority. And again, I'll say, he's not saying that they should quit their jobs, because it is good to work. Going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, work, purposeful work, is a gift from God that he gives us to provide for our needs. But that gift becomes a problem and a detriment to Christ's call, ultimate highest call on your life, if you become a workaholic and you just work, work, work. And so he's telling them, don't live that way. Okay? Now, I do think that most of us are in, as I said before, in a different economic situation than the people Jesus was speaking to. And so I think his message for us would be a little different, but I think he would be basically making the same point. So if you're middle class and you're hearing these things, what do you think Jesus would call us to as far as lifestyle? What changes do you think he would call us to make? I think he would say, you can't get caught up in pursuing all the things everybody else is pursuing and live a super busy life with a full schedule all the time, with lots of stress and running back and forth to this and that and trying to fit everything in, because if you do, you won't have anything left for what matters the most. You won't spend any time and effort seeking God's kingdom and righteousness, which is what Christ calls us to put first and foremost. You won't be involved in things that grow your faith and spread the truth of the gospel. You just won't have time. You won't have time for worship, for fellowship, for Bible study, prayer, serving, ministry. And I'm assuming you guys know what I'm talking about. I have been swimming in this for many years. It's our culture for most of us, I think. And so Jesus says, don't live that way. If you do, you're just like everybody else. Don't live like everyone else. That's what nominal Christians who are Christian by label, but don't really, it doesn't affect their life. That's what nominal Christians do. That's what unbelievers do. That's how atheists live. They chase after all of those things. I mean, you just think about your neighbors. Think about your coworkers who are unbelievers. That's how they live. And we need to be different, or we're not going to live out God's calling and purpose in our lives, which again is to be salt and light and to live for his kingdom and righteousness. We need to live different lifestyles. And I mean, as I look at this, it's like the only way this is going to happen is we have to realize what's most important. We have to lower the importance that we put on all these other things that are going on in life, and we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Joining him in the work of spreading his kingdom here on earth needs to be our top priority, and we need to stop being consumed by all these other things. That is real easy, well, sort of, easy to say for me up here. I'm just trying to relay what I think Jesus would say if he was re-preaching the Sermon on the Mount in this section in our context. It's somewhat easy, though it's not that easy, to be honest with you. To say, really hard to do. And I, again, it's really hard for me to do. And so I trust it's hard for all of us, most of us at least. The culture that we live in doesn't leave room for us to make Christ our highest priority, much less spend any time focusing on his kingdom and righteousness. It's very easy to squeeze Jesus completely out of our lives and still have more and more that we could do. Okay? That's our culture. The normal lifestyle in our world squeezes him out completely. And so we feel pretty good if we're just able to make it to church on Sunday, right? But if I compare what we're struggling with the people that Jesus originally was speaking to, the struggle we're facing isn't nearly as difficult as them. Okay? In the first century Israel, they were actually struggling and fighting to survive. And we're just fighting to not miss out on opportunities for us and our kids. So it's a lot less risky for us to make this change that Jesus is calling us to make in our lifestyles, because we're probably not going to have to wonder if we're going to starve to death. And I think that's what the position he was bringing them into. We just have to miss out on some things and say no to some interests and good opportunities. But the question is, are we willing to do that? And man, I ask myself that question a lot. Like, am I really willing? And I brought this up 3 weeks ago when I, laying up treasures on earth versus heaven. And it's like, I want the best of both worlds. I want it all. And unless I'm mistaking what Jesus is saying here, I can't have it. And if you truly want to be a follower of Christ, we can't, because where your treasure is and where your priorities are and where you spend your time, money, and effort, your heart's going to go there. And he says, don't live that way. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, don't live like the unbelievers across the street. Okay? Here's how you live. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and God is going to provide for you. Okay? It's a tough one, right? How do we know when our lifestyle is in the right place? Generally, I think we'll know if we look at your schedule, maybe this week, how you're spending your time, your money, and your energy. And if you look at those things and ask, am I seeking first Christ's kingdom and righteousness in my life based on how I'm spending those things? And if you can say yes to that question, you're probably in a good place, as long as you're not lying to yourself. And if you say no, you probably need to cut back even more. I want to acknowledge that there are seasons of life that are just really busy, okay? I've been through it many times. I know a lot of you guys and what you've gone through. There are times life is just busy. Jesus isn't here to punch you in the face today. He knows, okay? He gets it. He understands. There are times and seasons where there isn't a lot you can do. So maybe you're building a home. Maybe you're cleaning up after a disaster. Maybe you or a loved one has an ongoing health issue that demands a lot of your time. Maybe you're raising kids. I mean, there's some families that walked in today and I was like, I forgot. Forgot what it was like, okay? And my dear wife, I don't want to take too much credit. I want to give her a lot of credit for the busy crazy that some of you are, and we're still in it, okay? You're raising kids, life is just busy, and there's no way around that. The reality is that for that season, whatever it is, there might not be much that you can do, but don't be content with just turning that into a lifestyle and just living a lifestyle ongoing, overwhelmed by busyness. Make it your goal to do whatever you can to prioritize Christ during that season. And so even when you're in the midst of that busyness, do what you can to set aside time daily to connect with God and take some breaks where you can refocus on the Lord. Make it a practice to go to church or small group and be committed to doing those things in the midst of the busyness. And then when that season comes to an end, when you finish the build or your kids get to a stage where it's not as busy or whatever it may be, at that point then don't be content with just coasting on in your relationship with God and leaving things at the same place. That's the time where we need to re-engage and recommit to the kind of lifestyle that seeks first His kingdom and His righteousness, okay? It's a struggle. I think it's clear. I know it's a struggle. But I think this is what Jesus would challenge us with today, so that we can be salt and light. We can make a difference and make an influence. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your confidence in this. I don't know. I tend to be more along the lines of, not as confident. But you were. And I thank you for that. We need to see that, and I pray that you'd help us to understand, what does this mean for my life and my choices and my lifestyle and what I say yes to and what I say no to? What does it mean for the dreams I have for myself, and what does it mean for the dreams I have for my kids? Help us to see the kind of lifestyle you want us to live. Help us to make decisions that prioritize you and your kingdom. I pray that we would be able to support one another in this and talk through the difficulties, maybe in small groups or whatever. I pray that we would be a people that others see are different, that our lifestyle isn't just the same as everybody else, that we do seek first the kingdom of our Lord and His righteousness, and we do trust Him. So please help us with this. In Jesus' name, amen.